Okay, we are a speaker meeting tonight. We do have a speaker. They're going to share their experience and hope with us for the next 40 or 45 minutes, whatever they're comfortable with, their journey to, into, and through Narcotics Anonymous. And I'm going to hand you over to Jerome, who's going to introduce them. So, Jerome, unmute yourself and over to you, sir.
Nice one, Steve. Thank you for your service. Jerome had it.
Hi,
Yeah.
Jerome.
Hello, Lisa. yeah. Well, the speaker what we have tonight, obviously, she means a lot to me in my early days of recovery because she's helped me from the relapses to keep the doors open for me. And she's met an NA mum today. So yeah, she means so much in my recovery today. So I love it to bits. And the woman what we'll be listening to tonight is Sandra, all the way from Manchester. But yeah, I love you, love Sandra, and you know, smash the share. So I'll leave it there. Thank you.
Thank you, Jerome.
Thanks, Jerome.
Thank
Thank
you.
you.
My name's
Thank you,
Sandra and
Sharon.
I'm an addict. Thank
Hi,
you.
Sandra, welcome to the
Sandra.
meeting. Thank you.
Hello. And thank you, Elaine, for asking me to speak tonight. You know, when Elaine asked me and it was like 40, 45 minutes, I had to like check, like, could it be that long? But anyway, here we go. You know, I'm gonna share my experience, strength, and hope. And I believe this is going into a library, you know. So I hope that my message will help, you know, the newcomer and, you know, anyone that's struggling. And, you know, just my message hopefully will be hope. But I'm gonna set, you know, start with a little bit about me. I was born to parents that just had kids. They had 11 kids in 13 years, and I was the third one, first girl. And I remember being in my home. I grew up in Dublin till I was 12, and there was always chaos. And you know, my mum and dad, my mum was always pregnant, she always had black eyes, and my dad was always leaving. And from the start, it was chaos. I remember being in fear, being frozen in fear from quite a young age. And you know, stuff happened. And you know, as I got older, and my mum came to Manchester when I was 12, and I thought I didn't used to like come to Manchester, but you know, looking back, there was always like drinks of beer and stuff in the house, and then I'd sip it, and I'd light cigarettes from quite a young age. So I liked the fuzzy feeling, you know, that feeling of not being with myself. And you know, when I came to Manchester, I went to a convent school in Dublin, so it was quite strict. And you know, when I got to Manchester, I was like, no dad, no nuns, and I just was like following my two brothers around. I had a brother each side of me, and I started using. And you know, I've learned in here it's not about what we use, you know. I've also learned alcohol is a drug, but it's the what using did for me. And that was just, you know, blocking out feelings and just forgetting life around me. And that was at 12. I didn't want to be in my own skin at 12, you know. And you know, when I came to Manchester, my mum would just pass out, you know, drunk all the time. And I felt like I was a responsible parent of my younger siblings. And you know, my behaviors, you know, shoplifting. I remember going out on the streets of near where I live now. It's actually mad. In Withington, you know, going to shops and robbing packs of biscuits and stuff, and just for having that responsibility on me at such a young age. And you know, as I got older, and like I'd go back to Dublin and back to Manchester, you know, pass from my mum to dad. And from quite a young age, you know, I manipulated aunties to bring me back on the boat and stuff. And looking back now, it's madness. But you know, the drugs, you know, progressed. And I remember I'd go shoplifting quite young, get cannabis, roll spliffs, and that's how I rolled up to high school, you know. I was angry. I was so angry when I was young, for lots of reasons. The main one, my dad leaving my mum with 11 children and going off with a girl called Sandra, believe it or not. And, I had a lot of hate for him and that woman. So anyway, I went back to Dublin. My dad was a shoplifter. That's where I got my skills from, when I was younger. But when I went back when I was 15, he'd upgraded to selling drugs. And I remember me and my cousins, robbing these tablets and crushing them and sniffing them. And, when I was 16, I went to this girl's house and she was smoking heroin. And I had some and, I was sick and yeah, but I liked it. I liked the euphoria, the feeling of, not dealing with me. And, whether it was heroin or ecstasy or crack, I just carried on. And when I was 17, I got into a relationship with this lad, and he was 16, and it was a close family friend. And by the time I was 19, I had a crack heroin, methadone habit, and two children. And I just couldn't stop using. And it just got worse. It got worse. And then when I was 20, I went to London shoplifting in the shoplifting gang. And I got caught shoplifting, and I was a prolific shoplifter. Because I think I had 30 odd convictions. I wasn't a very good one. And the judge said, you're not getting bail, you're going, to Holloway. And I was like, oh, like I'd never been to jail before, but I was on my last 5 mil of methadone because I decided I was getting off, by myself. And I went into Holloway and I was just like, I'm not taking any drugs. And my kid's dad's mum smuggled me in heroin, and I swapped that heroin in jail, rattling, for phone cards and chocolate, and so I could speak to my children. And I had my 21st birthday in there, and it was the first time that I felt like I had family and people around me that liked me. There was a bit of bullying and stuff like that, but it. When I did 11 weeks on remand, and when I got out of there, 2 days later, my kid's dad was at the door. I'd put on 2 stone, and he was at the door, with some crack, and then it was bam, straight back on it. And 8 weeks after that, I was pining for them women in Holloway, and it's quite sad. Like, I get emotional when I think about it now. My kid's daddy went to jail, and I used to smuggle him in. His mum would come to the house with parcels, and my mum and all my siblings moved back to Dublin. So I was in Manchester with my two kids, withdrawing 6 stone, and I decided that I was going to take my life. So I went round to the back of my house, and this disease was like, you're gonna die. And I wanted out. I wanted to check out. And the love of for my children. In that moment, like I still think about it now, and I'm waiting for therapy about it now. But now I know that that was my disease, wanting me dead. This disease wants me dead, And I sat on this bridge, and I sat there and I seen this man cross the street, and I thought, it was a bit of a height up when I got on it, and I thought, this man's gonna save me. And that was the last memory I had of sitting on that bridge. And I woke up and I was in intensive care in North Manchester Hospital. And I remember looking around and I thought, am I dead? Because everyone was just laying in bed, and some had tubes, and I had a lot of tubes, and I had this morphine pump, And I remember the nurse saying, if you, this is pain relief, hit it. And I just kept hitting that morphine till I passed out. And I was in and out for a few days, and I remember my brother coming and sitting on the bed and telling me I was paralyzed. And I thought, what am I gonna do? Like, how am I gonna like jump off something now? That was my thought. And I went to a spinal unit and they took the morphine pump off me and gave me paracetamol. And like I was tripping on this bed. And 11 weeks passed, and I think that was the 11 weeks in jail, and then the 11 weeks lay on that bed was the longest 11 weeks of my life. And I went to some dark places, and I remember still not wanting to live, shoving toilet roll down my throat, and I just didn't want to be in this world. I had no hope. And I'd like to say that my using stopped there, but it didn't. As soon as I got in a wheelchair, I went down to the day room, and everyone had spliffs. And that was my first drug of choice. Well, no choice. So I continued using, and do you know what? From that, when I got out of hospital, I remember they put me in this house in Gorton, and that's where I live near now. And it's just crazy how like my life has like unfolded, and I've ended up back where I started at 12, using. So I got petrol bombed out of this house because I was chaotic. I'd have parties when my kids went to my mum's at the weekend, and take ecstasy, any drug, anything just to numb that, feelings. My kid's dad had gone to London. He'd got out of jail and gone to London to live with his mum. And I remember ringing his mum, and she'd be calling me, slag, why did I do this, blah blah blah. And I just wanted him to come back to me and my kids. And it's quite sad when I reflect now, And fast forward 24 years, and my kid's dad got killed 5 years after my accident in a car crash. And that's when I stopped going out clubbing. That's when I went into depression. And now I know, I was grieving my legs, I was grieving him. And in them 24 years up until I came into recovery, not much happened. And why would it? I was in active addiction, I had two young children, and someone's messaging me, sorry. I had two young children, and I thought I still couldn't stop using, but I thought I am gonna protect these two little boys from, the dad's family. And I brought them up by myself, and heartbroken, but I had a determination and a drive inside me. And when I came into recovery, a lot of shame and guilt around, trying to kill myself when they were little. But I know that was the disease now. But now I'm in recovery, and I reflect, like, even as a using addict, bringing my boys up, sometimes I find things around my house now, and it's like 100 days in school. Like, they never, I got them to school every day. They got full education. Like, even like my youngest, well, they both went to university, but my youngest was the first in my family to graduate, and he graduated in psychology. And life and active addiction for me was absolute hell, and that is why I love recovery so much. And an active addiction is, I'm going to recovery now. I got breast cancer when I was 36, and again when I was 41. And when I was 37, I had chemotherapy, and I used after every session of chemotherapy. And I'm on a step two at the moment, and it says in that, that is insanity right there, isn't it? Getting this drug to save my life and beat cancer, and then using at the end of it. But in January 2022, I was taking my sister to a CGL, that's Change Grow Learn drug service in Manchester, and we seen this guy, and he was like, there's a meeting on over there at 6:30, and it was like 2 o'clock in the day. I was taken to it, and I was like, we're going back to that meeting. And I had the cheek to say to my sister, you are going to a meeting to get clean. And do you know what? Like, I was trying to get off weed. And you know what? I say trying. I'd done 90 days on my own, going insane again. Always insane. And when I went into this meeting, some guy made me a brew. And I'm not gonna lie, like, my first month of recovery, I chased this guy around meetings, and you know what? Like, we laugh about it now, like, he's a good friend, but that's what kept me coming back. And a month after that, he wasn't in this meeting. And my home group is actually near my house, and people used to come and push me up. There's a bit of a hill, and people used to come and push me to this meeting. And I remember going in there one day, and he wasn't there. And my sister had gone back out, and it was just me. And I thought, what am I gonna do now? He's gone. But anyway, I kept coming back. So, if anyone's new and you're on this meeting, just keep coming back. That's what I heard at the start. I kept coming back, and I said drink was a drug before, and I didn't realize that until I come to recovery, and I did, because in active addiction as well, I've got eight younger siblings, and I've buried two of them to this disease. The last thing they actually had was a frigging crack pipe. And I remember my brother, a magpie just flew over my fence, and you know what? My brother that passed away, he said to me before he died, he said, if I die, Sandra, I'll come back as a magpie. And I said, why? And he was like, so I can get all the gold. And I was like, what are you going to do with all the gold? And it's just mad that, because one's just flew over my fence. But after, when I first come around, after my clean date is the 9th of February, because on the 8th of February, it was his birthday, and the ritual was go to the grave, back to my sister's kitchen, and we'd all get fucked up. And this, the 8th of January 2022, I went back to my sister's kitchen, and I thought, I'm not having weed, I'm not. But I had some wickeds. And do you know what? I went to my home group on the Friday, and I was like, I've had a drink, blah, blah, blah. And that is where my recovery started. And I asked this lady to sponsor me, and she's still my sponsor today. And I started the steps. I started writing steps. I started reading the literature. And I'm sure I am going to do these 45 minutes, Jerome. I started to discover, about this disease. To me, I not now know that I've got a disease that lives between my ears and talks to me in my own voice. And I love Zoom. I go to lots of Zoom meetings, and I do physical meetings as well. But getting service for me gave me self-confidence. And I'm not going to say it's 100%, but I'm getting there with it. And I've met so many people. I know people all over the world, but up and down the countries. And when we joined this, it was like conventions. But doing the steps for me, I've started another round of steps with my sponsor. I was up to tradition, finished tradition four, and I wanted to do another round of steps on the disease itself. So I'm on a step two, and I was doing some before this meeting. And I get nervous, and my head tells me as well, oh, everyone's heard your message, your story, Sandra. And I know that's true. I know there's at least one person on here that wouldn't have heard my story. And the message of Narcotics Anonymous is And you know, I share it often that any addict, you know, it doesn't matter what we use, you know, the A to Z of drugs, you know, I'm sure I've done quite most of them. It doesn't matter where we've come from, who we've you know, been with, what we've done, you know, all that matters is that we, you know, have a desire to stop using. That's all you need to be a member of Narcotics Anonymous, a desire to stop using. And I had that in bucket loads. You know, I seen these addicts like laughing and joking and looking healthy. They had like colour in their cheeks. And I wanted a bit of that. I wanted, you know, freedom from, you know, this disease that, you know, when I wake up in the morning, this disease is on me. And it comes at me, you know, most days. But anyway, going through the steps, you know, doing my first round of steps with my sponsor. Oh my God, like practicing spiritual principles. And I want to say that, you know, it is practice. It's a practice of, you know, I lost the desire to use drugs, and you know, I found a new way to live. And I need you guys. I need, you know, I've got a program today. I've got the 12 steps. I've got spiritual principles. And the biggest tool of all in recovery for me was the pen. So, you know, my first round steps revealed to me that I'm not very good at managing emotions or feelings. You know, my family is ravished. You know, this disease has I was talking to my friend before, and I'm quite emotional doing this year. This morning I rang my dad's neighbour, my dad, you know, who was the shoplifter, who was the drug dealer. He'll be 70 in August, and now he's in active addiction, buying medications at his door. And I rang his neighbour this morning to put, you know, some money in. I've sent him a Father's Day card, and his neighbour's like, he's back in hospital. He's got wet brain from this disease, and he's got an infection, and it broke my heart. So that's what started my day today. But you know what? I'm powerless and I can't do nothing about that. But what I can do is, you know, message my sponsor, ring other addicts, share what's, you know, going on in my head. Do I feel guilty? Before recovery, he wanted to come and live with me. But you know, I can't be around my siblings or my parents, because they're all in active addiction. And sometimes that can be quite lonely, because I was, you know, brought up quite close to them, and I've buried two, and all I want to do is look after people. But I've learned in here that, you know, I can just look after myself before I look after anyone. I can, you know, learn to love myself before I love anyone. You know, these spiritual principles I'm practicing, I've got to practice them on myself. And right now, you know, all day next door, there's been a party going on, and my neighbour's got, you know, all the family in there, and they're all, you know, having a party for tomorrow for Father's Day. And I'm not gonna lie, I've been, you know, wishing that was me and my family. And but you know what? It will be tomorrow, Sunday. I see my three grandchildren, and that's my family today. And you guys. This program, I've been given a family here in Narcotics Anonymous. And you know, I was speaking to a friend that came around with me today, and you know, three years ago when I came around, I don't know if anybody else gets this, but there's about five, six of us that, you know, stayed. Not everyone stays when they come in. You know, looking at yourself and practicing spiritual principles, it's not easy. And you know, I struggle with it. And you know, I have secondary illness. I've got, you know, I've got mental health. And you know, when I came to Narcotics Anonymous, I was on so many medications. You know, I was on antipsychotics, and I didn't need to be on them because I wasn't psychotic. In recovery, I've been on and off antidepressants, but the best thing for my depression and stuff is the 12 steps. You know, the solution for anything that goes on for me today is in these steps. You know, if something happens, you know, step four for me is looking at my part. Step one, my part, looking where I'm powerless, and that's today, you know, over my dad and his situation. But I can, you know, keep in contact, ring the hospitals, and you know, look at what I can do. Step two, I'm on step two at the moment, and you know, the other day I was writing, you know, this is a spiritual program, it's not religious, and you know, anyone that is religious, that's okay. But for me, you know, being brought up in the church and stuff like that, you know, the other day I was writing, you know, I don't believe in God, blah, blah, blah. And then I'm going to read that out to my sponsor. But today I was writing the question I answered before this meeting was, you know, the characteristics, what my higher power has, and, you know, the loving, the caring, the kind, non-judgmental, you know, loyal and a good listener. And, you know, I don't know, being honest, like what my higher power is. It changes all the time, and it says that in our literature. And you know what? The literature, I'm probably jumping all over here, but I am passionate about this stuff. I love the literature. I love what I'm learning about myself. You know, in recovery, I have become a better mum, a better nanny, a better friend. I've got so many friends, and you know, I've adopted sons, daughters. I've got loads of brothers and sisters, you know, you guys, and I'm just, my heart is filled with joy for you guys in this program. And then, in another sense, it's breaking at the family that I'm losing to this disease. But you know, I can just save me. And it's heartbreaking. So, you know, since I've come to the rooms, you know, I went back to college and did my maths and my English, and I did functional skills, right? And there was like three exams in each. So I had six exams in this 1 year. And my head, my disease was like, drop out, you can't do it. And you know, I had to get up, and even in the snow, like someday, there's a couple of days I pushed my wheelchair in the snow to the college, you know, if I couldn't get an Uber. And you know, I passed my exams, and you know, I've got my certificates there. And you know, another addict said to me, you know, do your driving, Sandra, you know, book your theory test. And my head was like, no, you're not gonna do it. You know, I'm not got the best memory because you know, I've been through the cancer and stuff, I've been through menopause. But you know, I booked it and I passed it, and you know, my head will tell me, you can't do this, you can't do that, but my recovery. And you guys tell me, yes, you can. And you know, in November, I did my driving test. And you know, on that day, I was full of fear. And the, you know, the disease loves when, you know, I'm in fear. And it's a fear-based disease, you know, that I've got. I can only speak for me. And I battle it daily, you know. I put on my armor in the morning, and that is my Narcotics Anonymous armor. You know, some days I'm like Batfink. But yeah, I've got, you know, a car on my drive. I passed that test, and you know, that is with a program. I've got a sponsor, and she tells me, you know, that I matter too. When I came round here, I had zero self-belief, you know, a big heart, you know, I would help anyone that knows me, you know, I'll help anyone, you know, to understand, you know, what I understand about, you know, the program. And there's so much more to learn, you know. I'm excited for the rest of my life, you know. I may be in a wheelchair, but let me tell you, most days I get in this wheelchair and I think, right, let's have it, you know, just for today. And that's what I tell myself in the morning, just for today. Don't use, you know, connect with another addict, get to a meeting, pick up the pen and do some writing. You know, if it's not step work, it can be a gratitude list, it can be inventories. You know, importantly, pray, Sandra. And sometimes I pray most of the day. That is my truth. I've got, you know, chronic pain. God, I'm not going to list my ailments. I'll be here all night. But, you know, I've got arthritis. And you know, the beautiful thing about recovery is, you know, now I go on these appointments and I listen. And you know, when I was doing my English, I got an English professor actually in America to help me. When I was doing my maths, I got a maths teacher in Wales, and he came up and met me, you know, face to face. And you know, any time I got a yoga teacher because I wanted to get fit, and she made me this like personal, it's on YouTube, you know, exercise plan to follow. Have I followed it? No, I haven't yet, but you know what, it's there. Easy does it. But my life today, you know, after I do a share and I realize, you know, how far I've come, and there's always more. My sponsor always says there's always more, Sandra. And you know, my eldest son is 30 next Saturday, next week, and my youngest son. And I have different relationships with them both. And I made amends to them, right? And my youngest son was like, "Your addiction didn't bother me." And you can tell he's done a psychology degree, because he's always like, you think he'd done the steps. He's always like giving me solutions. But my eldest son, he's at home, God, Monday to Thursday. Got the best of both worlds. But the relationships with my sons, like, I'm so glad that I found this program, A New Way to Live, and I'm present for them. You know, I just wasn't here. You know, I'd be waiting for them to go so I could use, you know, before recovery. And now they're like, "Shouldn't you be at a meeting, Mum? Are you going on a meeting, Mum?" They are so glad that I'm in recovery, because I'm here for them emotionally, and I'm here for, you know, my grandchildren. I've got three now. You know, I got told in recovery as well, you know, get a plant, and I've got a plant. My plant's called Ziggy, and he's nearly two. And I've got a cat, and my cat's one. And do you know, the biggest gift of my recovery, you know, I've got, you know, the shiny stuff's the car, and you know, the certificates and stuff like that. But the biggest gifts is the relationships with, you know, you guys, other recovering addicts, my kids, my grandkids. You know, I'm a good neighbor today. You know, I'm not like a lunatic doing inventory sat in the garden. You know, when I reflect back, like, I feel sorry for that person. But I'm so glad that, you know, one day at a time, you know, it doesn't, clean time doesn't, I want recovery. I don't want clean time, but clean time is nice, don't get me wrong, you know. But just for today, you know, I walk a program, I help newcomers, I've got some sponsees. I've learned to listen, and I've listened to learn in Narcotics Anonymous. You know, when I came around, you know, I heard lots of things, and it's like, take the cotton wool out of your ears and shove it in your mouth. And you know what? The biggest gift, like, and I couldn't believe it. And I heard somebody talk about it yesterday, like, I don't make situations all about me. I made everything about me. You know, it's in the literature in the step book somewhere, like, did you think the sun revolved around you? And my answer was, yeah, and the moon, and you know, everything. And it's not like that today. 2 weeks ago, I'd been to the graveyard. You know, I drove up and I drove around the graveyard, and I came back. And yeah, I was saying before, the biggest gift, like, is I can be by myself. You know, I'm never alone because I've got my higher power and you guys, but I can sit in silence, and like, the committee and the, you know, the voices and the arguments that went on in my head before I found this stuff, like, it's mind blowing. So yeah, if there's anyone new, you know, and I know this is getting recorded, and you know, if this gets played to, you know, newcomers in years to come, and I'm no longer here, just remember that this stuff, you know, changes lives. I've seen people come in here and, you know, clock up time and change their lives, you know, learn to read, get connections, travel the world. You know, I'm saving for a holiday at the moment, and I'm so excited. I don't know where I'm going. I don't even know who I'm going with. Probably me and my higher power. And, you know, I am going to talk about relationships. You know, the relationships I'm working on today in my recovery is, you know, my sponsor, my higher power, my kids, and you guys, I'm waiting on outside help, I got some last year and it helped me massively to go alongside my step up. But it says it in the cards. Everything for me is in the literature and the cards, that get read out at the start of the meeting. Medicine, religion, psychiatry are not, and they're not sufficient, the thing that helps me, my go-to is the 12 steps of Narcotics Anonymous, spiritual principles, the literature, my sponsor, my higher power, and you guys. And I'm just grateful, full of gratitude. Glad this is nearly over. But I was talking to a fellow today that came around and went back out, and he's got a few days now, and I've learned that, my sister was here yesterday and she's bang at it, and she's about 6 stone and she's bruised head to toe, and she's dying, I'm watching her die and she keeps coming, and she came yesterday and got in one of my beds, and I went out with my friend, came back, and she got up and she's like, I'm gonna go now, because she's wanted by the police. And I always hug people. I love that we hug in Narcotics Anonymous, because I never know when it's the last time that I'm gonna see her. And but there's hope. There's hope for any addict, right? In this program, that's what I've learned here. So, I can just pray for her. So yeah, that's me. Please keep coming. Read the literature, connect, the therapeutic value of one addict helping another, when they say it's without parallel, oh, that is an understatement. And yeah, I hope that somebody's got something. But you know what? If you've not, how many meetings is there on Zoom? I'd like to say that I go to other countries, but I've got, a few home groups on Zoom, and there's so many meetings, so many addicts that are willing, to give this stuff away. It's free and help. And if you're new, keep coming. They say 90 meetings, 90 days. Get a sponsor, start the steps, read, read, do a gratitude list. It will change your life. It has changed mine. And yeah, just for today, don't pick up, get to another meeting. And yeah, I think that is my time. I think that is 45 minutes. So thanks, Elaine, again for asking me to come and share on this meeting. I'm going to the Birmingham convention in July. I'm driving down, so if you're on the motorway, watch out. No, I joke. I'm a good driver, I have belief in myself today. And I'm so glad. Can I just say, before I finish, audio meetings, I struggle with the whole, I'm 50 next year, and in the Living Clean there's a section on aging, and I struggle with aging in the rooms. Society, I think, has ruined, the Botox, the lips, these skinny jabs. I got weighed the other day, and I was like, oh, I've got to put action into that. But my disease was like, you can get these skinny jabs, go to 8 stone, and I don't want to do it that way. And most importantly, I was talking to somebody today, and for me, my clean date, the 9th of February, the reading on that day in the daily meditation book is self-acceptance. And that's why I want, self-acceptance, with my shape, with my looks, with my teeth. And I will finish on my higher power. One of my best friends is a dentist. So I will keep coming back. I'll keep listening. I'll keep learning. There's always loads to learn. I don't know anything, but what I do know is that if I keep coming back just for today, don't use, make it to midnight, I have got a chance at a better life for me, my kids, my grandchildren, and for the neighborhood and society. So, yeah, that's me. I've dried up. Thank you for asking me to share, Elaine.